Well, happy Thursday, everybody, and welcome to Live Local Radio on 97.1 FM. I'm your host, David Keyes, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. We have a great show. Off to my left, on the left on your radio dial, would be Tag and Mikhail here helping me out today. They're back behind the bulletproof glass over there trying to keep this train on the tracks, and thank you for your help. They try to make me sound better than I am, and I'm not that good, so thank you for all that. Well, guess what? It's CHAFE weekend. That is Cycle Hard for Education's CHAFE weekend. It's right here, right now, coming Saturday. And even now, cyclists are starting to show up in town, and holy smokes, it's going to be supposed to be great weather. I think we're going to have a good one for sure. There are cyclists from Canada, most of the United States. I don't even know what the total is right now, but I do know the total of something else. Believe it or not, that ride has raised more than $1 million for local education here in Lake Pondre School District, and also some money, too, for the Sandpoint Rotary Club to do what it does as well. But most of the money goes to the initiative of choice, and this year it's the Every Student Graduates a Reader. What that does is that makes sure that students are caught along the way if they're having disabilities, having challenges, whatever else, reading. They get them worked on. They start early on. They make sure they're reading, making sure they're enjoying what they're reading, and learning all that. And that's such a important task. And the state of Idaho mandated that the school districts in Idaho do this initiative, but didn't provide any funding for it. So Rotary saw an opportunity there to help out. So that's what we're doing now, and that's where the money goes. A bulk of the money goes this year. But on a safety note, please, please, please be careful. There's going to be cyclists with varying degrees of expertise on the road. Some are riding up to 150 miles all on the highway. And so just a word of caution, Highway 95, the 150 starts at about 6 o'clock, a little after that, and heads north on 95, then pops over to Troy, then up the Bull Lake Highway, and then back on Highway 200. And cyclists, try to be careful. But it's really up to the four-wheel vehicles to help them too. There is no better ride that is supported for safety and everything else than the CHAFE, but we also want to make sure that everybody's looking out. So please, please, please make sure you're looking out for the traffic signs. There's SAG support vehicles there, but really at the end of the day, we want to keep everybody safe and have a good time and make it a great day that way too. And if you're looking for something and you haven't trained like Tag has for the 150-mile race, there's also a family fun ride. And that's an easy four-mile little jaunt along Sand Creek. All I would tell you is there's no traffic interface with that. It's a great family event. It's fun. Not a whole lot of people do it because, again, it's low-key. It goes along Sand Creek. There's a turnaround spot there with water, and there's people there to greet the riders and the families that way too. So if you're looking for something, check out the window on Saturday morning. I've heard from the weather committee that's going to be great. Maybe get on the bikes, pop on down. You can register there. But more importantly, you can also register on chafe150.org. And what that'll do is that'll get you online, get you all signed up, and then they'll be all ready for you. There's T-shirts, all sorts of stuff for the family fun ride. And you could still, if you wanted to, you could still sign up and do the 150, or you could do the 80, or you could do the 40, or you could do some of the gravel races. It's all sorts of fun. And again, it goes to a great cause. One, you get great exercise. Two, you get to meet some great people. And then, of course, you are helping Sandpoint Rotary help our local school district. So anyway, if you're not doing anything else, that would be really cool. Last week, I was lucky enough to help with the Find Your Strength 5K and 1K fun run for the Hospital Foundation. And oh my gosh, you talk about seeing great people doing great things and families doing fun things. It was a superhero theme. And they're the cutest little superheroes at about, 5 or 4 or 3 years old, coming across that finish line, and they're looking good and enjoying it. And there's a little, some fun things for the kids there too. So it's Sandpoint. It's summertime. There's a ton of stuff to do. But what I think I'm going to do, I'm going to take a quick break because we have two great guests coming on today. The first guest will be from the Senior Center in Sandpoint. I've had her on before. She's wonderful. It'll be good to catch up with what they're doing there too. And then after that, we have a guy named Willie who's been on here once before. No, not Willie Nelson. I'm sorry. I thought that Tag thought it was Willie Nelson, but it really isn't. It's first of all, it's Jesse Vachon from the Senior Center. And then Willie Witte Zeller will be here too to talk about some cool things that he does for a living. He's part of this thing called Road Trip Nation. It's a big podcast. He's a best-selling author on the New York Times best-selling list. And guess what? He graduated from Sandpoint High School. And like some of the other folks around here, they find their way home to make a living. So I'm looking forward to talking to Willie too. But right after the break, we'll talk to Jesse and we'll get caught up on all things about the Sandpoint Senior Center. We'll see you soon.
If you're a private landowner with even a couple of acres of timber, it's wise to periodically hire a professional logger to assess your property for threat of wildfire and disease. Then, work to minimize those threats with highly selective thinning. Careful, strategic thinning of the timber on your property not only helps minimize the risk of wildfire, disease, and pest infestation, but encourages new growth for long-term sustainability. Since 1990, Sierra Logging has been working with private landowners to help protect their assets. Property lines are clearly defined, roads carefully established or maintained. Leftover slash and brush is methodically piled on the site, dutifully cleaned up afterwards. Log truck drivers are courteous and sensitive to landowners and their neighbors. And you, as a landowner, are paid directly by the sawmill. No middleman, ever. Phone Sierra Logging for a free consultation at 509-671-1158 or visit sierralogging.com and make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantle, or desktop. There's something special and satisfying about building your home using local wood. Its beauty and strength are hard to beat. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out the website, tntbeams.com.
Hey, Don Thomas here for Selkirk Glass and Cabinets, and I was recently asked what made us such a reliable resource for all their cabinet needs. The easy answer is all the variety we can show you. Contractors and homeowners come into our showroom to discover that we offer four different cabinet lines: KCD, Showplace, Homecrest, and Omega. Within these offerings, you'll find everything you'd ever want in styling, materials, finishes, and pricing, with Homecrest giving out a 10% discount. Come in today for a free estimate. Selkirk Glass and Cabinets, that's the place to go.
You've got your weekend project mapped out. Fence posts? Check. Tools? Check. Buried gas line? Uh-oh. Skip the guesswork and visit PanhandlePrivateLocate.com. We're the certified pros who find underground utility lines before you dig. No sparks, no surprises, just safe digging. Book your locate today at PanhandlePrivateLocate.com. That's PanhandlePrivateLocate.com.
Genuine integrity is difficult to find. At Cheryl Burchell Goldsmiths, we specialize at listening to you. We provide personal attention to your sentimental jewelry repairs, custom designs, and all your gemstone desires. With all the juggling we're doing in our lives these days, isn't it wonderful to ask Siri or Google to find the jewelry help you need? Visit our website, Cheryl Burchell Goldsmiths. Email yourgoldsmith@gmail.com or come see us at 1524 Northwest Boulevard in Coeur d'Alene.
News Talk 97.1, KSBT, KBFI.
We're here for a good time, not a long time.
And welcome back to Live Local Radio. I am so glad you decided to join us today. What a beautiful day. What a good day to have some conversation going on. And also, if you aren't listening to this live, which how do you not know that, right, Jesse? You can pick this show up at 4 o'clock, I've been told, 4 o'clock on Saturday. It rebroadcast, and it exists as a podcast out there in the world on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm lucky today to have Jesse Vachon from the Sandpoint Senior Center, operations manager for almost a year now. Wow, time flies, doesn't it?
It does.
And I know you had something big coming up this weekend, so welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Thank
She's
you.
The most patient person too. I think we moved her around like three different times to get her here, but I'm so glad you're here. So
I'm happy to be here. Thank you. I appreciate you fitting us in.
It's our pleasure to have you. It really is. So I hear something about Father's Day coming up.
Yes, we have our annual Father's Day weekend barbecue.
Okay.
It is on Saturday the 22nd.
That would be...
No, the 20th. because that's Saturday. And it's from 10 to 2 at the Senior Center.
So this Saturday.
This Saturday.
There you go.
In just a couple days. And we're going to have barbecue burgers and brats. And there's going to be live music and some raffles. And so it's a really fun fundraiser. Bring your dad. Bring your kids.
Absolutely.
It'll be great.
A good
excuse.
It's
going to be great weather, too.
You know, I've heard that. We were just talking about that in the first, before the break, because we have that Chafe bike ride the same day here.
Yes.
So the weather committee has been on it all year. So you get the benefit of the Chafe weather committee to help you out with your event.
It's lovely. We love that. Yeah.
And there'll be a lot of people running around, too. So how many people do you expect to see at this a barbecue like this? I know it's an annual event for you.
It is. Well, it always depends on the weather. So hopefully we have a good number this year. I think it maybe rained last year, so wasn't as good. But
here you go again.
Yep.
Very good. And so it's a barbecue fundraiser.
Yes.
And so what are you raising funds for?
Just for the Senior Center.
Okay, just not operations?
Operations,
okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
We have got a lot of programs we need to fund, and the Injector Club are putting it on for us, so that they're very generous. Every year they sponsor this for us, and it's wonderful.
That's a bunch of fathers right there, probably.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Very good. And then do they do the barbecuing, too?
They do.
Oh,
they
wonderful.
Do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, I know a few of those folks, and they're all good barbecuers, so it's
perfect.
Guaranteed to be. And you said hamburgers, hot dogs, that kind of fare?
Yes.
And then there's a raffle?
There's going to be a 50-50 raffle, and we have a couple little baskets that we're raffling off, and that type of thing. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Busy place, I assume, right now. You guys are serving lots of meals, seeing lots of people stop by.
Yes.
What else is going on at our favorite senior center?
Well, we are also in the beginning stages of our new brick fundraiser. So we have a really lovely little courtyard garden right next to the center. And we have dedicated it to Loris Michaels, who was our former board president. Yeah. And we're going to brick part of it. So we're selling bricks as a fundraiser for this is less of a memorial garden, more of an inspirational garden to
so
beautify
engraved,
the space.
Engraved bricks.
Engraved
you can have your name on it and whatever else you want on it.
Yes, you can dedicate it to somebody, or you can put a scripture on it or some funny phrase, whatever you want. So there's more information on our website, sandpointareaseniors.org, or you can stop by and get a form at the Senior Center.
What's it cost?
It's $100 for a regular size brick. I think they are 4x8. And then we also have paver sizes, which is 8x8, and those are $250.
More room for a message on those.
Yes. Yes. And it's great if you want to go in with people on it, get the larger brick. You can have more information on there. And it's just a really nice way to memorialize or share some inspiration and help us raise some funds for our programs.
Good. It's a good fundraiser for you. Then you make money from those bricks.
Yes.
You do pretty well.
That's the idea.
Yeah. You never quite know what the difference is between what you pay and what you get back that way, but you're doing well.
We are. Yeah. It's, it should be a pretty good fundraiser for us. And we do have a lot of programs to fund, and the prices of groceries are affecting everyone, including the Senior Center. We have noticed a giant increase in cost, but also an increase in guests that are coming in. So
you're seeing more people coming.
Yes.
In the cost of doing business, feeding people is going up.
Yes.
So somewhere in the middle it has to be made up, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So we do a lot of fundraising.
Yeah. So you're doing this one, and you've done some other things too. What's your best fundraiser? What's the best fundraiser the center's ever done?
Oh, goodness. That is a really good question.
Why they pay me the big bucks,
Jesse. Ask those hard questions. We do usually a letter writing campaign in the fall, and that we send letters directly out to past donors and hopeful donors. And that has always been a great one for us. It's not quite as fun as the barbecue or selling bricks.
But it feels just as good to give, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. And it really is a huge support for the Senior Center. We also do a monthly fundraiser breakfast that's going to be coming up. It's the last Friday of every month. We do it February through October because it gets a little busy in the winter as far as things that are happening at the center. So the last Friday of every month, and Wendy Frank from the Hoot Owl, she cooks for us, and she is doing a from scratch corned beef hash for us for this breakfast coming up. So,
oh my, and so that's next Friday then.
Next Friday,
right.
Yes.
And what time to what time?
Doors open at 8. We serve at 8:30, and then takes people, you know, however long it takes people right. to eat. Right. And then it's $10 and we do need reservations by the evening before.
And you've had Wendy do this a couple times now?
Yeah, she's been doing it every month since February.
Is it sold out every time?
Yes.
Is the word out? I'll bet it is.
It is. Yeah. It is. It has been great. I mean, everybody knows Wendy, and she's such a huge supporter for us. She does amazing food, and we are so grateful that she's
I seem to recall. I think she used to own a restaurant in town. What was it called again?
What was that called?
Oh, yeah.
The Hoot Owl.
The Hoot Owl, yeah, known for its breakfast. And
yes.
She's the main person behind that.
Yes.
Well, what a great way to give back for her, too. So $10, you said.
$10 for that, yes. And it's open for everybody. It's not just for seniors. Anybody can come to that.
So tell me more about that, because I always get mixed up on that. So when you serve meals every day, true?
Yeah, Monday through Thursday, yes.
Okay. And so anybody can stop by for a meal?
Yes.
And you don't need reservations for those?
You do need reservations for those.
Oh, see, there you go. Okay.
Yes, so by 9:30 the morning of for our regular meals, we need reservations. And we do have a program specifically for seniors. If you're 60 and over and you're registered in our program, then it is a suggested donation of $7 a meal. If you're under 60, anybody can come and eat with us. It's $10. And if you don't want to register for the program, it's also a $10 fee. But it's a great lunch. Today was our Father's Day lunch, and we did barbecue ribs, which were phenomenal. We had ice cream for dessert, and we had a full house. It was great.
They could probably hear my stomach growling right now on the air.
Should have brought you some ribs.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about that before.
I don't
want to be too overtly begging on the whole thing. But, you know, there's nothing better than first-person stories, right? How delicious that is. But,
yes.
One of these days I'll have to stop by there and see you guys.
You absolutely too, right? should. Yeah. We would be happy to have you.
And I hear the 60-year-old thing. And those youngsters at 60, that's great.
Yes.
I never thought of myself as a senior, but I guess apparently now I
well,
I am.
You may qualify.
So, Jesse, what else is going on at the center?
Oh, well, we have our normal activity calendar, all kinds of fun stuff that's happening regularly. We do Bunko and Bridge and Pinochle. Those are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm not sure which order that goes in. We also have our Fit and Fall, which is Monday and Thursday afternoon.
Sorry, what's it called?
Fit and Fall Proof.
Fit and Fall. Oh, Fall
fit
Proof.
Fit and Fall Proof.
Oh, good. Okay.
I always abbreviate Fit and Fall. Fit and Fall Proof, which is a great little exercise class that it's very well attended also. And that, like I said, is Monday afternoon and Thursday afternoon at 3 to 4. So those are always very well attended. And it's a great way to stay active, and they do teach you a lot of great ways to help support your body and
minimize those kind of trauma things for sure.
Yes.
And I imagine you see that a bit too, don't you? People just all of a sudden disappear from coming in.
Yes.
And you find out they've had some kind of traumatic head injury or broken hip or whatever else too.
Yes. Or they come in with bruises, which is always terrible.
Yeah. So if a senior's at home, I know you have a program for meals for them.
Yes.
How does that work?
The Home Delivered Meals Program. A lot of people refer to it as Meals on Wheels, which is actually a franchise that we're not part of. So we do have a Home Delivered Meals Program, and it's very simple to sign up for it. You can just call me at the office, and I will walk you through the paperwork. The qualifying factors for that is need to be 60 years and over, unable to easily get out of the house. So if you have someone that can help you do groceries or something like that, it's still generally all right. And then unable to independently prepare meals.
Gotcha. So they can call you and talk to you about that a bit.
Yes,
for sure.
Absolutely.
And how many people do you see?
Well, our meal program is quite large right now. We have close to 40 on our daily meal program, and then we do about 200 meals for our frozen delivery routes also a week.
Okay.
So,
It makes a difference for people. It truly does.
Yes, it really does. And we service Priest River area also. So,
Well, thank you for all you do. And if people want to find out more information about what you do, how do they find you?
We're at 820 Main Street.
Okay.
We're also online, sandpointareaseniors.org. And they can give us a call, 208-263-6860.
Oh, you passed that test. Jesse, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. What a fun time. It's been too long. It really has.
It really has.
You know, but we'll do it again next time you bring food.
Okay. I can't guarantee ribs, but...
Well, thanks again for your time today. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll have Willie, and his dad goes by Witty, last name Witty, but it's Wittezeller, and he's going to be talking about a pretty cool thing that he does. It's called The Road Trip Nation. It's a podcast. It's all over the place, and he's also a best-selling New York Times author, and he's from Sandpoint. So we're going to take that quick break, and then we're going to catch up with Willie.
When it's time to hit the road, let Squeaky's Truck and Auto in Kootenai get your pickup ready for everything you have planned. Squeaky's offers custom truck accessories like WeatherTech mats, bed covers, receiver hitches, gooseneck hitches, and fifth wheel hitches. So, no matter what you plan on hauling this season, Squeaky's is the place to go. For more information, stop into Squeaky's Truck and Auto on Highway 200 in Kootenai.
All right, now we're going to do the song of the summer from the Idaho Lottery. It's Barbecue Bucks. Let's go!
There's a new scratch game and you can win $50K. Barbecue Bucks, come on, let's play! Grillin' and thrillin' and sizzlin' and poolin'. Splashin' and scratchin' and winnin' and wooin'. It's summer, summer, a Barbecue Bucks summer! Benefiting Idaho public schools and buildings, must be 18 or older. Play wise.
The PRCA presents the 77th anniversary of the Newport Rodeo in Newport, Washington, June 25th to Saturday the 27th. Bring your friends and family to the Newport Winkler Arena for one of the best rodeos in the region. Saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course the heart-pounding excitement of bull riding. A full beer and spirits garden, a must-see for the whole family. Tickets available online at newportrodeo.com. Experience rodeo. The Newport Rodeo, supported by Ponderay County Hotel Motel Tax.
This is Justin Dick, owner of 113 Main, inviting you to start the summer off right with us. We're open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week from 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. We have scratch cooking, handcrafted cocktails, and regional beers and wines. We're here for any occasion or celebration. Big city dining experiences with small town hospitality. Make a reservation by calling us at 208-946-5309 or 113mainsandpoint.com.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Son Chevrolet, serving the greater Sandpoint area. With summer kicking off, this means the best selection and offers of the year on new 2026 Chevrolet Silverado 1500 trucks. With choices from work-ready to ultra-luxury and engines offered from 4 to 8 cylinders and gas and diesel options, there's a Silverado truck for every purpose. Taylor & Sons knows how to order these trucks for the Inland Northwest lifestyle with popular choices including Z71 suspension, factory lifts, and the appropriate trailering equipment. The best part is that every new 2026 Chevrolet Silverado 1500 is on sale at Taylor & Sons. Right now, new service loan Silverado 1500 trucks are priced at up to $11,500 off MSRP. Starting at prices for well-equipped Silverado 1500 crew cabs are as low as $47,500 plus taxes and fees. You can view our entire inventory of new Silverado 1500 trucks online at tschevy.com. There you will find multiple pictures, detailed descriptions, and clear transaction pricing for every vehicle in stock. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
Do you want safe, efficient excavation without the damage? Call Vandenberg Hydro Excavation, your local experts in storm drain cleaning, culvert jetting, and underground utility locating. Vandenberg Hydro Excavation high-pressure water and powerful vac systems get the job done right. No mess, no guesswork. Safe, efficient digging without the damage. Serving Sandpoint and surrounding areas across Idaho, Montana, and Washington. Find out more information online at vhexcavation.com.
Ready to feel stronger, more confident, and energized? At Backyard Kettlebell, you'll learn safe, effective kettlebell training with beginner-friendly coaching in a supportive, non-judgmental environment. Whether you're just starting out or looking to change up your fitness routine, our sessions are designed to help you build real strength that fits your life. Discover how kettlebell training can work for you at your pace with expert guidance every step of the way. 319 Church Street in Sandpoint. Stronger starts here. Backyard Kettlebell.
News Talk 97.1. We're here for a good time.
And welcome back to Live Local Radio and all the fun that goes along with that. I've been waiting for Willie to show up, and I've been looking at our email string, and somehow it changed from 12:30 to 1:15, and I don't know how that ever changed, but I've since then I've emailed him and texted him and said, hey, we're on the air. So I bet we're going to see him coming in here at 100 miles an hour because that's just the way he is. That'll be fun. So meanwhile, since it's just you and me talking, Tag, let's relive the last week or so here. Something about those Knicks.
What about them? What, did you like it? Did you like the finals?
You know, I was kind of rooting for San Antonio, I must tell you. I don't bet on these things, but I thought, you know what? I kind of like the idea of Wemby, you know, being so big and first time really in that and all that. And New York being kind of like this powerhouse where they have all the money in the world, the best fan base in the world, the best metropolitan area in the world. So they should be favored all the time, you know? So
they should be. And what's crazy is they haven't won. Like we were saying earlier, what was it, 53 years the Knicks haven't won. And they went one time. I think it was the 90s. They went to one of them and just they didn't win. So it is crazy to have the most money out of every team in every market, the biggest market in the whole entire country, and not win for 53 years.
It's kind of like the Yankees. You know, same market, really, too, where you expect them to have Aaron Judge hitting home runs every time he's up and all that. And now he's hurt, and the Yankees aren't that good this year either. So, you know, it's funny how that follows. So, yeah, it'll be, I guess, is that parade today? I think it is.
It might be. I think it is today. You're right.
So they've closed down all of downtown Manhattan and how cool is that? How fun is that going to be for sure?
Yeah, that place was in shell shock there for a minute. People were going crazy, jumping off buses, burning stuff. But I think they got it. I think it's okay now.
I think that's just a normal day.
I do. Yeah, normal day in New York. Yeah.
I don't know if that was special or not for sure. So, but speaking of special, it's been really fun for me to watch the World Cup stuff as it's taken over Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. And what a fun ride that's been. I watch a little bit of soccer. I do referee a little bit of soccer. I do all that. But the World Cup is like a whole different level. And just to watch, I don't even know. I know you don't follow soccer as much, but the fans following the Norway team, for example, they took over. But first of all, they say that they own these stadiums. They all sit together and they do this rowing thing. And they have like this big bass drum and they all start rowing. So you see the whole audience moving. It's really kind of unreal.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting because they have some really cool little chants, though, that they do.
They do.
All those teams over there. I watch the Premier League sometimes, and that gets very entertaining.
Yeah, yes, it does. My favorite cheer when I refereed, I've only heard it one time, but I've heard of other referees. It's, I'm blind, I'm deaf, I want to be a ref. And I think, oh, my gosh.
That's good, though. That's a good one. You know, maybe if you're the ref, that's not
if I had feelings, it would hurt my feelings. I don't have feelings. Like I said, I'm a referee, so you don't have feelings that way. And another anecdote I thought was pretty cool was in Boston. And the Scottish team is there. And I was born in Edinburgh, Scotland. So I was a dual citizen until I was 18. And so I have a little love for the kilts and playing soccer in Scotland. And I guess, is it, I don't even know. Is this a stereotype? It might be, but Boston has now run out of ale. And so they can't keep up with the Scottish fans doing this. And they don't like drinking American beer because it's like this huge step down. So, yeah, so it's kind of a funny thing. So there's a headline somewhere that said the Scots have drank Boston Dry, and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. Why not?
It is a very funny thing because it is purely a stereotype that they're all these drunks, but they did come here and drink the most beer.
Well,
they're
traveling and they're going to make the most of it. They're rooting on their team, and I think you know that's the cool thing about that. And a funny aside too is, people are saying how surprised our visitors are, in especially the U.S. part of it. Canada's Canada. Canada's always friendly. They're always great. Mexico, they love the soccer, so that's going to be great too. But people didn't know what they're getting into when they came to the U.S. because of, you know, geopolitics, that kind of stuff going on. And they keep sharing the story that they're all so impressed with the way that the Americans are treating them. And, you know, it's funny. And in my role with Rotary International, I travel a lot, especially to Canada. And they're all nice. Everybody's nice to a certain point, for sure. But, you know, you throw the politics into things, and then all of a sudden, well, you know, you get that stereotype of all Americans being this way or all Americans being that way. And the power of people, the positive power of people, that's what makes the world go round anymore. It truly does. And the leadership comes and goes, but the fabric of the United States, the fabric of our country, is so solid that way too. And sometimes you have to remind yourself that part of what you see on the news, part of what you hear in politics, you know, isn't the reality of what goes on here. And I just think it's nice to be able to have those walls come down and people say, hey, you know what? We're okay. We're gonna make it through all this kind of stuff for sure. Another cool thing about the World Cup is in Seattle Friday. You got Australia versus U.S. and U.S. right now is punching above its weight. U.S. doesn't do really well in the World Cup. It's just the team doesn't. It's a different style of soccer. There's just so many great programs out there, and U.S. kind of comes together. They throw these folks together for a little bit of time before the World Cup, and they usually get tromped. So lo and behold, they come out of the gate, and they just have an outstanding first round victory. They scored more goals in that one match than they scored some years in the World Cup. I mean, that's how on fire they really were. So it'll be a good test. U.S. is favored a little bit, I think, in this one. I hadn't even checked that for sure. But Seattle is already overrun with soccer fans. And, in fact, the Space Needle now looks like a big soccer ball. They've got the top of it dressed up like a soccer ball. You know how the black and white stripe.
That.
Yeah,
that's
it looks
neat.
Pretty
okay.
Cool. And so
Seattle's a big soccer city too. They love soccer in Seattle.
They do. Yeah, there's a place. There's many different places there, but of course the Sounders play in the big field.
Yes.
You know where the football the Seahawks play as well. But also there's a place, kind of. I think it's just what's it called? Starfire. And it's in Tukwila, so it's right out of Seattle. And that's where the Sounders practice. You know, they have a facility out there. But every soccer tournament, there's two different fields, two different venues there are played there. And I've refereed and I've done some things in a Starfire before. And there's another big complex there. But anybody who's playing soccer in the Northwest, including Sandpoint, will pop over there for those tournaments, and they gather people from all over the country, all over the world too. We've had some. In fact, I saw a team from Australia there years ago. They were youth, and that team was just traveling all over the world to have these kids play soccer, and it was fun to watch that way too. So, no, it's so soccer bubbles up right now. So World Cup, all of a sudden, soccer is growing in popularity anyway. But it kind of peaks during the World Cup and then kind of drops down. But this is the first time in a long time that the U.S. won has done something. They've won a little bit. And they also, we're hosting that. So you're seeing it more on TV. You're seeing more of the advertising. You're seeing more of those great old stories about these great soccer players that have come up through the ranks in the U.S. or the ones that were stars overseas and have found their way to MLS, you know, in the United States and Canada that way too. So I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's going to keep growing. And the more and more people figure out the rules of that game, right?
Tech. Yeah, and I've been watching a lot more. And what I think is actually helping a lot with Americans, at least this year, or I guess all of North America watching, is the time zones. We're in normal time zones, and we're able to watch it from 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock instead of in England or Australia where it's 3 in the morning games happening. It's like no one here is going
to
watch that.
Or it's time delayed and people say, yes. I kind of think they're going to win 3-1. Of course they're going to
exactly,
win 3-1.
That type of stuff.
So
right.
It does take the suspense out of it for sure. And soccer is a lot like baseball. And you kind of got to enjoy that sport because there's a strategy to it. It's not always pound, pound, pound like NFL football. Not always up and down the court, slam dunk like NBA basketball. It's about teamwork. It's strategy. It's building up. It's, you know, moving people around. You have 11 v 11 that way. And they're doing what they need to do to keep the other team from scoring. And if you ever want a challenge, try to kick a round ball, control it with a square foot. It doesn't work. And especially if you're running hard and all this kind of stuff. And to watch these folks who are just so talented and so skillful. Those are the best athletes in the world. So the midfielders, the ones in the middle of almost all the action, they attack, they do all sorts of fun things. They'll run about 6 miles during a match. And so that's not just jogging. That's not like doing, you know, Bloomsday or a 10K run. It's starting, stopping, speeding up, getting underneath the ball, you know, leading, getting knocked over, getting back up again. And a referee on upper level high school, upper level college, and then semi-pro and pro will put up to about 7 miles in a match that way too. And again, you're not just going jogging. You're not jogging the same direction with other people. You are actually making it happen.
You're a part
that
of the game. Like you are a part of the game the entire time.
Right.
You got to put in those miles.
Yeah, and it's funny because you the one thing about a referee is a referee can't call timeout. A referee can't sub out.
Right.
And so then all of a sudden you're in the middle of all this, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's like, okay, how are we gonna get through all this kind of stuff? So I have an important announcement to make. You ready for that tag?
I'm ready. Let's hear it.
There is a local hero named Willie who has lighted in here. And I want to, first of all, welcome you.
Thank you.
We're
going
to take a quick break, I think, first. Let's do that, and then we're going to get all caught up. And we'll talk about my bad emails and notes back and forth, and we'll get it figured out from there. So after the break, we'll be talking to Willie. And pronounce your full last name.
It's Witty Zeller.
Witty Zeller.
Yeah, you got
so,
it.
So Bob Witty was really Witty Zeller, but you know, that's what happened. Is that the true story?
Bob Witty is my father. Yes, I grew up Willie Witty. And my wife and I, we combined our name into one long name. That's what I did.
Oh, so no hyphen. It's just
one long word. Yeah, we both had unique sounding German names, yes. So we just smushed them into one.
Oh, see, I thought Witty was short for something, so it's not.
No.
See, there you go.
There you go.
One urban myth, boom, blown up already. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll talk to Willie, whatever his last name is, right after the stop.
You love your land, and you have plans for it. During Kubota Orange Days, you'll love the great deals on our versatile, reliable lineup, helping you turn dream projects into reality. Visit your Kubota dealer today for the best deals of the year. Now through June 30th, zero down and up to 84 months financing available, and save up to $5,500 off select compact tractors. Sale in soon. Stop by your local dealer or go to gokubota.com.
Visit adamstractor.com or swing by one of our five locations to find your Kubota today.
Want to help save lives right from home? Better Together Animal Alliance makes fostering simple. They'll provide food, supplies, and medical care for kittens and puppies. You just provide the love and a safe place to stay. Even a temporary home can give an animal a second chance and help them grow stronger, healthier, and ready for adoption. Ready to make a difference? Learn more at becoming a foster today at bettertogetheranimalalliance.org.
Attention anglers, can you identify bull trout? Bull trout can have pink or orange spots on the body and white on the leading edge of their fins. They have no black spots on their dorsal fin. Remember, no black, put it back. You must release all bull trout. For practice identifying trout on the internet, type in bull trout education and click on the online bull trout ID test. Please help bull trout recovery in the Clark Fork Ponderay Basin. This has been brought to you by Avista, Idaho Council of Trout Unlimited, Idaho Fish and Game, and Montana Fish, Wildlife and Parks.
Mountain Stove in Sandpoint is Bonner and Boundary County's largest hearth dealer and carries more than 10 brands of wood stoves, gas stoves, and fireplaces. They install and service what they sell. Locally owned and operated for over 20 years. Come see the showroom with a large selection of products on hand at 1225 Michigan Street or visit them online at mountainstove.com. Your expert source for stove, fireplace, and chimney products, Mountain Stove.
Nick Pierce here from Pierce Auto Center, and we are in the midst of our 12th annual Red Tag Clearance event. Vehicles have been marked down thousands of dollars, and there are prices posted in every car. And if that wasn't enough, for the whole month of June, we are sending every buyer home with not one, but two free tanks of gas. Purchase any new or used vehicle and drive off the lot with a full tank and a gas card worth $100 towards your second tank. When every penny counts, choose Pierce Auto Center. This June, you make the drive, we'll make the deal.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Craving great food and waterfront views? Come by boat or car to Pearls on the Lake in Hope. Enjoy fresh flavors, handcrafted cocktails, and stunning views of Lake Ponderay. Plus, live music every Thursday and Sunday. Open daily, noon to 8. Close Tuesdays. Reserve your table now at pearlsonthelake.com.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1.
And welcome back to Live Local Radio. I am so glad you're here, and I am so glad that Willie's sitting across the table from me right now. Had a little confusion on the time. It's all my fault. I can't tell time. I'm going to learn one of these days how to do that. But we have Willie, and pronounce your last name again for me.
Witty Zeller. Willie Witty Zeller. You got it.
Okay, so, and those of you who might remember this Bob Witty kind of guy, he's kind of a character. He's still around town. Check out the golf course. He's out there. Playing and working a little bit too. And anyway, this is his son Willie, and Willie's done nothing but great things. He's kind of following the Sandpoint tradition of moving away, going to school here, moving away, mm-hmm. and then finding a way home.
Exactly.
Would that be true for you too?
That's spot on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At 17, it was like I couldn't think of anything else but then to get out of here. And then as time goes on, you're like, wait a minute. This is kind of the best place on earth. I got to find a way to get back. So, yeah, that's where I am now.
So tell us a little bit about you and how you got to what you're doing now, which is so cool. It really is. But Sandpoint High grad, you mm-hmm. grew up here. Tell us about your youth in Sandpoint, later part of your youth in Sandpoint.
Sure.
And how you got here.
Well, I mean, going to school here and growing up, work-wise, I was always doing manual labor. You know, I was a ranch hand and did some construction jobs, et cetera. I worked on Schweitzer through high school as well. It's a ticket checker on the old lifts that aren't there anymore. and so after high school, I went straight into construction. But like I said, I was looking for broadening my horizon. So I moved to California. I got the first construction job I could get. And that's kind of as far as I saw my future at the time. Only about 4 or 5 years later, people my age are starting to graduate from college, and I'm looking around like, oh, did I just accidentally sign up for, you know, a career in an industry that I wasn't ever that passionate about? You know, it's a great, obviously a great career. But for me, I just never really reflected and asked that question. But here I was, Southern California, you know, right on the edges of film and TV and video production, which was always a big passion of mine. Like when I look back, growing up here, I always had a camera in my hand. My friends and I were making videos. I was filming, you know, people skiing. I was just filming all the time. I just didn't think about that as a career path. For whatever reason, I just didn't connect those dots. And then being in California, realizing, oh man, I really should think about what I actually want. I was able to, you know, cut my hours back at the construction job, take on a weekend gig as well. So I had some free days and I just started volunteering on any and every film-related gig I could find on Craigslist at the time. There was a whole tab of, if you're willing to work for free, you could do this. And that turned into a really interesting season of my life. I was working on indie films and student films and commercial shoots, and I was doing the stuff, you know, you always hear about, like running and grabbing coffees and, you know, the slate.
You were the gopher.
Yeah, that clapboard. Clap, like, I was that guy, you know. And then eventually I got to assist some camera operators and like help them change lenses. And it just started to build up from there. And then a couple things happened, really exciting things happened all at once. I got an amazing dream gig as a camera assistant on a surf film. And it was in Indonesia. So they were going to spend the summer filming in Indonesia. And they said, hey, if you want to carry our gear around in the jungle for the summer, you can come. And I was like, heck yeah. And simultaneously, I got an internship at a small nonprofit startup called Road Trip Nation. And I told the guys at Road Trip, I really want this internship, but I just got a job in Indonesia. And they told me, hey, if you take a camera of ours and you film some interviews with the surfers and the directors, we'll actually give you money to go on this Indonesian trip. And it was just this amazing summer where I got paid to kind of do my own side gig as doing documentary while working on a surf film. And that summer really just changed my whole trajectory, because when I came back, there was no more construction. I came back fully, you know, mentally shifting into, I'm going to work in video production. And long story short, Road Trip Nation, when I got back, they hired me as an assistant editor. And I've done 1,000 roles there since, but it's been over 18 years I've been working at Road Trip Nation. I've turned that into a lifelong career.
Been one job for 18 years.
Yeah, well, one job, no, but one organization. So right, assistant editor to editor, to camera operator, to producer, to director, to now I'm the creative director. And the organization has grown a lot as well. You know, it was only 10, 15 people at the time. Now we have, you know, 100 employees. It's a nationwide nonprofit with a long-running series on PBS. That's the main thing we do.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's take a little side trip here and tell maybe some of the folks who don't know, what is Road Trip Nation?
Absolutely. So it's a career exploration company, ultimately. And I mentioned the long-running PBS series. What it is every year we do 8 to 10 of these road trips. Each one has a different group of typically young people on a motorhome, big, bright green RV. Says Road Trip Nation on the side. And we take them on these road trips across the country to explore what career paths are out there. So they meet professionals from all kinds of fields and sit down and just talk to them about like, where were you when you were our age? How did you get to where you are now? And all the questions of like the twists and turns and just guidance and advice for their lives. And that's the show is every road trip becomes its own, you know, special on public television. And we've been doing that for 25 years now, the company has. But over that 25 years, we've interviewed, as you can imagine, literally thousands of people from all kinds of careers. And there was a point early on where we realized, hey, teachers are playing this stuff in classrooms. They want their students to watch this. So we pivoted into education programs, essentially. So making the show is a big part of it. But the other almost bigger part of it is all these educational tools that counselors are using and teachers are using to help young people figure out what they want to do with their lives. So I've actually ended up, you know, diving into the world of education and curriculum writing and development and created all these programs that now it's in over half the high schools in the country. When young people are trying to figure out where they want to go, more often than not, their teacher will pull up Road Trip Nation videos.
And the video guidance counselor.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah. So that's what it evolved into.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And does it exist on YouTube too? If people are looking for older episodes, or how do they find that?
Absolutely. So you could find Road Trip Nation on YouTube. If you go to roadtripnation.com, you can actually see all the documentaries we've made. We keep them all up there for free. And then, of course, catch it on PBS, or if you have the PBS app on like a smart TV, search Road Trip Nation, you'll find some of our latest stuff.
And so you have a production time of year, I assume, and then you have downtime? Is that what happens, or are you always producing?
We're kind of always producing at this point. But personally, I spent about 10 years out on the road all the time, living on the RV, camera in my hand. And then it's sort of a young person's game. I kind of evolved out of that, and now we have this awesome production department, about 30 different folks, producers, directors. And as creative director, I help sort of set the vision and the goal for each of their trips, and I kind of oversee them. But I don't personally do the road trips anymore.
You said a younger person. Of course, how old are you?
Well, I'm 40.
Oh, yeah, you're old. That's right. I got you now. You couldn't do that if you wanted to anymore. But
it is part of why I'm able to be back here in Sandpoint is that I'm you know, I have this mostly over the laptop on Zoom career. And so working remotely became a thing over the last few years. And I was able to really think about, all right, where do I want to be? And that brings us to today.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Well, we've got about 2 minutes on this segment, but what we want to do is we're going to keep talking and starting for next week on same time, same bat station. We'll be continuing this conversation because I've got a million questions for you and I don't want to cut you short.
Sure.
And again, it's my pleasure getting to know you. And we had talked when you were kind of promoting the Leadership Sandpoint fundraiser. And how did that go? Tell us about that a bit.
Oh, it was awesome. So we were raising money for the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum.
As part of Leadership Sandpoint.
As part of Leadership Sandpoint.
Right.
And they had, you know, this need to get proper storage materials to keep all of the artifacts that they have, you know, from aging and deteriorating. And so I'm thrilled to say we met the goal. We were able to raise money. I say we, it's the whole community. You know, a ton of awesome sponsors came in. And then we had a great party out at the Ag Center, which was my first time out there.
Isn't really that cool?
It's so nice.
It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, and Bob Witte came out. He hosted local history trivia, and we raised money, and it was a great time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Were the flamingos part of that, or was that a
flamingos
different?
Flamingos were part of it.
Oh, man.
You got
I was flocked a couple times. Yeah. I was a multiple flocker.
Man. Yeah, and look out for that, because Leadership Sandpoint's an annual thing. There'll be a new cohort next year. And so probably next spring, you're going to see the flamingos coming out again for another cause.
Well, and that's been a fun thing to watch too. I was lucky enough to be in the first Sandpoint leadership class way, way, way back. And I was the president of that group, but we didn't do anything extra. We didn't do the outreach. We didn't do, you know, find the nonprofit. We didn't help the next year. It was kind of the template perhaps of what it was going to be. So I got off kind of easy, frankly, but it was fun. And it's even to this day, you know, I see some of those classmates and they're all still making a difference here, you know, which is
absolutely
really, really cool.
Yeah.
Well, Willie, guess what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick break. You and I are going to take a quick break. The rest of you are going to take a week off. you'll find us next week, same place, same time. And we're going to keep talking about growing up in Sandpoint, how it's an advantage for people, it truly is, and then the magic of finding a way back and getting involved and reconnecting with your community. So
cool.
Thank you for your time today. We appreciate you listening and tuning in. Again, we exist as a podcast as well on NorthIdahoRadio.com. And we also rebroadcast 4 o'clock on Saturday on the same station, 97.1, and a few AM stations out there, too. So with that, have a great weekend. All the best, and maybe we'll see you at the Chafe Bike Ride.